Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on this station right here by downloading the podcast or listening at sportingjournalradio.com. Lots to get to this week, including catching a stream trout limit with Jamie Dittman in Minnesota with a non-resident Minnesota license. How does that work? We'll explain coming up later in the show. We also kick off the new season of Prairie Sportsman this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS at 7:30 p.m. We visit Elk near Bedette to check out some sharp-tailed grouse. We also go near Glendon to the Bluestem Prairie there to see Elk for prairie chickens. It's a really cool upland bird piece. We also go sharp-tailed grouse hunting near Hinckley, Minnesota. Yep, you can hunt sharpies near Hinckley. I didn't realize it either. We're going to learn more about that this week in the episode, and we'll talk about Lake of the Woods, because then next week on Prairie Sports, when we go on a cast and blast trip to Lake of the Woods, walleyes and waterfowl. How can it get any better than that? Joe Henry will talk about his experience joining us on that episode, filming for that episode of Prairie Sportsman coming up later in the show. Walleyes are on fire on Devil's Lake right now, too. Lucas Mertens has got his snow bear fleet on the ice, which he is busy. He's got a lot of snow bears. He's got great guides. But what happens when one of those guides gets sick? How do you handle that? Well, we'll ask Lucas that very question coming up later in the show. All right, this week's show is brought to you by Taz and Lake Lodge. We're going to have a booth at the Midwest chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation banquet. That's March 13th and 14th in Minnetonka. We'll also be at the Northwest Sports Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center April 2nd through the 5th. Find out how you can book a trip to Northwest Saskatchewan for trophy lake trout and monster pike. Go to tazandlake.com. It's also brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic coming up March 14th and 15th. New location this year. Going to be at Canterbury Downs in Shakopee, the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. I'll be making an appearance there. Come out and say hi. It's March 14th and 15th at Canterbury Downs in Shakopee. Actually, March 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Canterbury Downs in Shakopee. Go to mndeerclassic.com for more details. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Whether or not you want to do some spring rainy river sturgeon fishing, walleye fishing through April 14th, or get up this winter for ice fishing yet, lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And also brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, where they are catching big walleyes on Devil's Lake, and of course some of their legendary perch too, out of a snow bear, warm and comfortable, and they're very, very mobile, go wherever they want in those snow bears. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details. Now we're going to check in with our old radio pal, Doug Lear, who's got the latest from North Dakota. It's your North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report, brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, haybaleheights.com.
For the first time since June 2018, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is accepting applications for its voluntary conservation reserve program. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Private landowners can sign up for CRP at their local USDA Farm Service Agency office through February 28th of 2020. Land that is not currently enrolled in CRP may be offered during the enrollment period, as well as contracts that expired in 2017, 2018, and 2019, and those expiring in September 2020. This popular USDA program provides options for environmentally sensitive land by reducing soil erosion and improving water quality, but it also provides significant benefits to wildlife populations through the habitat it creates. The habitat created by CRP makes it a great fit for the Game and Fish Department's Private Land Open to Sportsmen program. Private landowners may be eligible for additional incentives and cost share by allowing walk-in hunting access to their CRP through plots. Game and Fish private lands biologists can help landowners put together a CRP offer that has a higher chance of being accepted. Landowners can contact a private lands biologist in their area by visiting the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov. That's this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Thank you, Doug. When we come back, we'll talk stream trout in northern Minnesota in a location where you need to buy a non-resident license if you're a Minnesota resident. Jamie Dittman explains next on Sporting Journal Radio. And he's got details on the Brainerd JC's extravaganza taking place this weekend on Gull Lake. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch their legendary perch, but this year, Hay Bale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike. And you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th. Or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Right, we're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network on this station right here by demand, sportingjournalradio.com or with the podcast app. Jamie Dittman, our guest right now, fresh off a trip to northern Minnesota there, hey, with Jamie. It was a good time filming for Prairie Sportsman. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But first, you got a busy weekend this weekend, Jamie.
Yep, we got the Brainerd JC's Ice Fishing Extravaganza here in Brainerd Saturday. The sheriff okayed it last week. We have plenty of ice, and it looks like it's going to be, for the first time in a long time, above freezing.
Oh, it's going to be a comfortable trip out there.
Yes.
So how much ice is out there, and how much snow is on top of the ice?
I would say about 6 inches of snow, and we had 18 inches of ice a week ago, so we'll have probably 20 inches. And so everything should be fine. Travel should be easy.
And when you guys do something like this, how many holes do you drill, and do you kind of plow out the whole area where the holes are?
So we do a perimeter plowing, and then the snowmobiles, the snowmobile club comes out and does a grid about 20 feet apart, and they checkerboard the whole area with snowmobile tracks. And wherever the tracks intersect is where you drill a hole.
Okay.
And this year is going to be kind of neat because for the first time ever, we're doing it with all electric. It's always been a bunch of gas augers, and this year, five Strikemaster augers, electric lithiums, will do the whole contest. So we're going to see how that goes.
Wow. Is that what you had this weekend that I tried out for the first time?
Same one, the 40-volt.
That thing was crazy. I can't believe it. First of all, just starting it, how easy it was, how quiet it was, how well it cut the hole. 40-volt. How many holes can you drill off one of those things?
You can drill, 80 holes through 2 feet of ice.
On one battery, on one charge.
On one battery. Wow. And, it didn't, for the first year I had it, I still carried my gas auger everywhere because I didn't trust it.
Sure.
And here, just 2 years later, now I hear a gas auger on the ice, and it's like, what's that? I mean, it changed that fast.
So, Jamie, you're a guy that can really work through some of those, those like small engines. You can fix those gas augers with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back. When it comes to these electric augers, how different are they? And do you need an IT specialist to get in there to fix it?
I don't know. I've never taken the screws out of it yet. I've been tempted, but I figured I should leave it alone because I figured I could do a dual battery 80 volt. I don't know.
Nice. Do you bring spare batteries with you then when you do that?
I've had a spare battery for mine for 2 years and I've never used it.
Oh, really?
I alternate them, but I'm not an extreme hole hopper, but I've never had to use it. It's they get a lot of holes in them.
So you're using five of those to drill all the holes for the extravaganza this weekend in Brainerd on Gull Lake. How did you say how many holes you're drilling?
It's roughly 20,000 holes.
20,000 holes. Did you start 2 weeks ago?
No, we're doing it all on Friday.
Holy man. Now, do you have like the fire department or somebody volunteer to do that, or who does it?
We have people that volunteer. They can come do it and get a free ticket for the contest.
Oh, cool.
And it's usually two guys on an auger, and you just walk through every intersection and keep drilling holes. And previously, we've had, you know, I would say 20 to 50, I can't remember the number, of gas augers. So it's going to be a little different this year.
In years, and this contest has obviously got reaches nationwide. It garners a lot of media attention across the country. And a few years ago, you met some guys from New York. Is that right?
Yep. We have Andy and Scott and the crew from New York, and they're coming again. And they've also been here in the summer now fishing with Al Linder and myself. They've bought in guide trips at the kickoff party. And so they'll be doing the same this year. Half of them fly out and half of them drive out, and we'll meet with them on Friday at the dinner, and it's always good to see them and hear their stories of the year.
Have they ever caught fish in the tournament?
They've caught some small ones. Yes, and I believe last year Jill caught one that was on the board.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So they have. And Tammy and them, they have their plan for this year. And
so secret plans that we'll just talk between you. So everybody listening to the radio right now, don't listen to this secret tip that we're going to give you. I fished it one time. This tip did not work out for me, but I think it would if the conditions were right. But you think of Gull Lake, you might think of walleyes or pike or something like that. But what about going for a different species of fish, Jamie?
That's kind of been the plan the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. The board has really changed from small walleyes and perch to an occasional pike to tulabies.
Tulabies, yes.
And I want to say last year out of the top 150, 40 of the top ones were tulabies.
Really? No kidding.
You know, they're all about a pound. And when you get into school, you know, you can really get into a school.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's exactly what I would fish for. I would go to Gull Lake just to fish for them anyway after doing our tulipy netting that we filmed for Prairie Sportsman with my buddy Jason Markla. We caught a bunch of tulipies in the net, and then we went back and smoked them, and it was some of the best fish I've had. And you probably have smoked tulipy before, Jamie.
Yeah, smoked tulipy and whitefish, you know, from a kid getting them at Maury's and making my own now is one of the best smoked fish.
God, it's so delicious. I got to get one of those smokers. You keep telling me stories about smoking fish, and I've been baking them or frying them. I baked some trout in the fish house the other night, actually. It was pretty good. And you smoked that sturgeon we caught, didn't you?
Yep, I smoked that. And, you know, even growing up as a kid, we would, you know, I love smoked fish so much. We would smoke bass and crappies and everything.
You smoked bass?
Yes.
No.
We would. I just love smoked fish. So
sure. All right. Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. I bring up the sturgeon because I just shared the sturgeon episode that we filmed on the Rainy River last year. It's on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page right now. That had to have been the best. For me, for sure, the best sturgeon fishing trip I've ever had. But that had to be right up there for you too, Jamie.
Yeah, if not, it had to be the best because I got my biggest. But we've had one other trip with Larry where we caught maybe more, but nothing of the size we got this time.
Everything we caught was big.
Yeah, and even the first 2 hours before you got there, I was like just exhausted. So
yeah, what was our smallest one was 45 inches or so or whatever.
I think so, yeah.
Something like that.
It was all nice fish.
And we had two in the keep slot, and that was our goal as we wanted to keep two, put them in the smoker and try them out for the first. We never kept them before, and we wanted to try it. But we caught a lot that were bigger than that. My big one, I think, was 52 inches. And then, of course, we finished the show with your big one. I kept telling everybody it was 64 inches, but after watching the episode again, I guess we say 63 on the episode. But our tape measure wasn't long enough, Jamie.
Right. We need a longer. Next year, we'll have a 70-inch tape measure.
So I think we just kind of guessed, but I was thinking it was 4 inches longer than the tape measure, but I don't know. It was estimated around 67 pounds. And then there's that 69-incher caught next to us.
Yes.
Man, yep. big fish. So you smoked. Tell us how you prepared that sturgeon and how you smoked it, Jamie.
With a sturgeon, you had to clean it really well. So basically, either scrub it under a sink or power wash the skin, and you'll get all the slime off of it. And after that point, it didn't smell fishy or anything. It was very clean meat, really. It was almost like pork, really dense. And I staked it, and my same brine I've used forever is 50% salt, 50 kosher salt, 50% brown sugar, and then a gallon of water. So a cup of each, and then a gallon of water. And I brine it for 24 hours, and that's the same brine I use on all my trout and everything.
Okay, and then smoke it for a couple hours?
I usually go like 150 degrees for 6 hours. I do a little longer to make sure the inside on them trout, because they're a little thicker.
Sure, sure. That's the way you do it for, that's the way you did it for the sturgeon, but that's also the way you do it for like a rainbow?
Yep, same way.
All right. And we didn't even start talking about this yet. What we were doing up around Red Lake on Monday, I guess we did at Jamie's. We went up and saw our buddy Darwin Sumner up there on the Red Lake Reservation and fished some of their stocked stream trout lakes. They have four of them in the winter that guys like us can come and fish. You have to buy a non-resident reservation license. It's $10 for one day. And then you have to hire a guide. So we went up there with Darwin, and right away, it didn't take us long to catch fish. We didn't even have the camera gear set up. I dropped my hook down, and before I even hit the bottom, my bail was still open, and all of a sudden I saw something scream up at my jig on the Markham, and next thing I know, I was hooked into a nice angry rainbow trout, and we quickly got our limit of fish there, Jamie.
Yeah, I was kind of, starting off the morning in 22 below and setting up the house, and,
yeah.
But the day just changed, and it was an amazing sunny day, and everything worked right, and it was a good day.
Looking at the forecast prior to this trip, we have all these conference calls with our camera guys and with our producer, and I'm like, you guys, you understand it's gonna be below zero up there. It's gonna be miserable. We're gonna be fishing inside a house the whole time. Hopefully the fishing is good. It's a really cool scenic place, but we're gonna be stuck in a fish house the entire time. And you're right, it was real cold that morning. It was kind of foggy actually that morning. It was interesting, but all of a sudden we got halfway there to the reservation, and I could see the sun start to break through the fog a little bit. And I looked at Dylan and Max, our camera guys, and I said, hey guys, this stuff might burn off. We might have a pretty good day out there today. And sure enough, we started in the house, set her up, and within about an hour, we were all fishing outside, popping holes all over the place and putting rainbows and brookies on top of the ice all over.
And we did all fit in the house too, so that was good.
Yeah, tell me about that house you brought out there. I think it's
huge.
That's
the Otter Resort, and it's like 12 by 12. So we had room in there for me and you and Cole and the camera guys.
The entire reservation, I think, could have fit underneath that thing.
Pretty much. And, you asked me how I met Darwin earlier, and I had met him at Camp Confidence.
Right.
At the Fishing Classic. Well, it's interesting. I brought Cole Colburn with me, who's my best friend's son. And I used to take him goose hunting all the time, and when he was real young, and now he's older. But he was actually at Camp Confidence with me that day.
Oh, really?
Fishing it with me, and he remembers meeting Darwin.
Oh, no kidding.
So that was pretty neat, 10 years down the road.
And he caught, was that his first time catching trout?
I believe so, yes. He got his, so a lot of people got their first trout.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. His first trout, and then after we caught so many fish, Dylan and Max both had fishing licenses too, and I said, you guys, put down the cameras, go catch some trout, and they both got their first rainbow trout, first trout period, I think, and my nephew Dan was along, and I know he's caught some brookies before and some Lakers, but I don't think he'd ever caught a rainbow. He caught his first rainbow trout out there on that trip,
and
too.
And then Cole got the big fish for the day.
Yeah, he did. That was a nice one.
It was fun. Everybody had a great time.
So,
and that's the way it is up there. We have a lot of great times. I mean, it's a fun trip.
Absolutely. So Darwin Sumner's got to get a hold of you want to go fish up on the Red Lake Indian Reservation for stream trout. They have their own fisheries department there that stocks these lakes, I believe annually, and they grow fast, and they're just angry. Huge forage base in these ponds. And the cool thing about it, Jamie, is we were out completely out of the wind, not a cloud in the sky. Not a footprint in the snow on the lake that we were on. There was a recent snowfall, but it was one of the most scenic trips to a lake I've been on in a long time.
Yeah, and even the drive in, it's so much snow up there. It was up to the windows on the truck, and it's it's crazy snow up there this year, and it's just so pretty going in there with no tracks anywhere.
Yeah, I love that drive in because you do wind your way back through the woods, and you hope you don't see a vehicle coming the other direction because you can't get around each other.
I was thinking the same thing. That'd be a long reverse out.
Yeah. But it was a good time, and we filmed it all for Prairie Sportsman. You'll be able to watch that episode coming up March 22nd on Pioneer PBS. We did some filming there. We also did some filming on Upper Red Lake at Hillman's with the double-decker fish house, which is quite a sight in itself. We caught some walleyes there. Then we went over to the Lost 40, which is some old-growth pine, white pine and red pine. They think it's 250 years old, these trees, and about 120 feet tall. So just these big, giant, old pines that just tower over the landscape. Filmed all that for Prairie Sportsman. Watch it coming up. Search your guide for Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts this Sunday night on Pioneer PBS, January 26th. Jamie, when we went sharptail grouse hunting near Hinckley, did you know you could do that?
No.
It's kind of wild. We didn't shoot any there, but we did see some. Then we went over closer to your neck of the woods. We went up by Palisade and hunted around there as well, too. And then we visited a lek in Glendon for prairie chickens and a lek in Bedette for sharptail grouse. It's a really cool episode. See it this Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS. Jamie, and if people want to do some fishing with you, first of all, obviously people hearing this, they may not have a chance to get to the extravaganza yet this year, but if people want to fish the extravaganza or find out more information about that, where can they go?
Go to S&W Bait, and you can always ask for me. And if you just want info on what to use, Sherry will help you out there and get you hooked up with the bait that you need to hopefully win something.
Yep, and you can do some fishing with Jamie this winter or next summer as well. Jamie Dimon, thanks for the time on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
Well, we've got a couple of appearances coming up here this spring where you can come out and say hi. We'll be at the Midwest Wild Sheep Foundation Banquet in Minnetonka. That's coming up March 13th and 14th. And also March 13th, 14th, and 15th, they'll be making an appearance at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. That's at Canterbury Downs in Shakopee. And May 1st, I'll be back at the Bluffland Whitetails Banquet, emceeing their banquet coming up May 1st. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world-record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch their legendary perch, but this year, Hay Bale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back to Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Now, if you Like the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page, you've probably seen us share some photos from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. They've been having a lot of tables full of walleyes this winter, and of course some perch up there too. And we're going to find out how conditions are right now up on Devil's Lake with Lucas Mertens from Haybale Heights. Lucas, how's it going?
Hey, Brett, everything is good. We finally kind of broke out of the deep freeze. Currently, we're about 27 degrees, and it feels like 57 degrees yeah. after you come off of 22 to 25 below there for a while.
Isn't that funny how that works? We fished the other day, and we were filming for Prairie Sportsman, and we just had portables, and I was like, all right, you guys understand, it's going to be 0 degrees, maybe single digits if we're lucky. We're not fishing outside the portable. We got a little hub pop-up. We're going to be filming and fishing in there all day, just so you guys are prepared. And we set that house up, and within an hour, it was sunny and calm, no wind, not a cloud in the sky. And granted, it was still probably same. It started off at 22 below that morning, but because it was sunny with no wind, within an hour, we were all fishing outside and popping holes.
Yeah, I think everybody in the Midwest is, you know, you see people walking around in sweatshirts when it's 25 below zero, or or like if you go somewhere like, you know, not to make fun of people from like Texas or California or Florida, but you know, they get down in the 50s and 60s and they're bundling up like we do when it's 25 below and we're walking around right. in sweatshirts. So it's just, it must be just in our blood and what we're used to.
Hardy folk. That's right. And you can make fun of people from California all you want, Lucas. I won't give you a hard time about that. But I saw something come through Facebook the other day. It was a weather forecaster giving the forecast, I think in Florida or something like that. And it was like, bundle up your kids and limit their time outdoors. It was a high temp of 53, or it was a low temp of 53. Limit your time outdoors. Yeah.
There was a warning. They were warning people that there was going to be iguanas falling from the trees. Did you see that one?
No.
It was when it took, you know, they're cold blooded, and when it got down that cold, they'd lose the grip on the tree. And this was a real story on the national news, and they were warning people to watch for falling iguanas. So,
jeez. Well, I have never seen an iguana fall out of a tree, but one. One thing that does happen, Lucas, when you get temperature fluctuations and people going outside maybe not dressed appropriately, is you end up getting sick. And whether that's weather-related or just shaking hands with somebody that was sick before or, you know, whoever, that's one thing you have to deal with. As a resort, Lucas, when you got guides like that and you're booked every day, I don't think people always realize what a guide goes through. They think these guides and outfitters are just, you know, making money hand over fist and kicking back and putting their feet up, living the good life. But it's a grind during that season. And you got guys that you're basically out there doing it every single day. It's tough when a guide gets sick, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the logistics of resorts and guiding businesses, like you said, most people, you know, they book a trip and they talk to me or they talk to somebody else on the phone, and I think they're just kind of walking into a perfect world, and they got to remember that these guys get sick. They got their own families that get sick, and there's a lot of things that go with that. You're running six snow bears and you got six main guides and you got them booked every day. Well, all of a sudden, you know, somebody's sick or something comes up with their families, and you've got to kind of scramble to, you know, to find a replacements or subs, you know, and it, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes things that, you know, people don't see and don't realize which goes on out here.
And sometimes finding good help is tough too. So when someone goes down, it's always hard. I know I've told this story before, but when we Snow Goose guided, and it was four of us living out of one small hotel room for a month with two beds. So two guys to a bed. As soon as one guy got sick, we knew it was inevitable. One of us was going to go down, and you just have to, you know, thankfully for us, you know, we had a couple of guys do a spread. So there was always somebody there that could help out or help carry the load if somebody went down. But that's definitely a struggle. Lucas Mertens, our guest, Haybale Heights on Devil's Lake. And you know what else is sick, as the kids say, Lucas? The walleye fishing on Devil's Lake right now, it sounds like.
Yeah, the walleye fishing has been really, really great this year on Devil's Lake. It's kind of, you know, even overshadowed the perch bite. You know, I think word is out that the perch bite is a little off on Devil's Lake this year. Now, that doesn't mean we're not catching perch. It means that, you know, we're catching less perch and we're finding perch. They just, for some reason, they are just lockjaw right now, you know, and I don't know what it's going to take for them to switch. You know, there's going to be a day where, you know, we're out on them and all of a sudden, bang, they go. And, you know, then they might go all the way into spring, you know. I think that's one of the, you know, few creatures that no one really understands is fish, you know, fish patterns.
Yeah.
They're kind of mind boggling sometimes. Why are they doing what they're doing? You know?
Well, they're wild creatures, man. It's you can pattern fish and other animals to some extent, but there'll always be some that throw you off, or there'll be times and years. I mean, I've heard about that. We've got some of our lakes here where things are just completely backwards this year than they have been in the last 10 years. And it's hard to say what exactly is going on, but not only are you guys getting walleyes there in Devil's Lake, Lucas, but looks like you guys are getting good ones too.
Yeah. When people come to camp, we don't like to sugarcoat it. You know, if the bite is tough for one fish, you know, let's go try for the other one a little bit harder. And that's kind of what we've had to do this year. Everybody's been real happy with that. It's just, I don't know, it's just part of Mother Nature, you know. She's just doing what she's going to do. And the best we can do is just, you know, target what is biting that day or the day before. You know, like I said, these fish could go at any time. And that's kind of perch fishing, you know. I always used to say that, you know, 90% of the fish were caught in a 10% window. You know, and that kind of holds true. You know, you see these tables of fish and, you know, these big catches and that's not an all day affair. You know, that might've been a half an hour or 40 minutes or even, you know, or even a 10 minute flurry that came through. So, you know, people just gotta, you know, learn to be patient and hey, it's fishing, not catching. You know, if we caught the limit every day, there would be no fish.
Yeah, that's right. Still fishing. I wonder if it's a forage situation, like there's an abundance of whatever the perch are foraging, freshwater shrimp or whatever they're foraging on in Devil's Lake. Maybe there's just a lot of food for them this year.
Well, I got a picture that I'm going to put on Facebook and Instagram that came from today. We drilled a hole and literally it just looked like mud coming out of the hole.
All shrimp.
It was all freshwater shrimp. I mean, just gobs of them. I mean, the guy's got handfuls of these shrimp in his hand. So, you know, what makes Devil's Lake, you know, fishing great is those shrimp. That's what makes our fish so big. But on the other hand, you know, these fish are just, they're full all the time. I mean, they never have empty stomachs. So sometimes that could be tough to make them bite. So if anybody wants to see that picture, it'll be on our Facebook page and my Instagram page. So
check out Hay Bale Heights Campground Resort, Facebook and Instagram. And Lucas, so that means I would start grabbing some of those shrimp and trying to put them on a little hook if I were you.
We've done it. It works. Yep, absolutely.
For sure. Getting some perch, catching a bunch of walleyes. I can't believe we're already looking at the backside of January already. It seems to me like this winter is just cruising by. And historically, you guys will run through the middle of March, somewhere around there.
Yeah, middle of March is kind of just a guessing date. You know, it could go a week on either side of that. You know, you could be into the 25th of March, or I think the earliest I've maybe seen it close down, you know, where it wasn't safe was around the 10th of March. So, I mean, right in that 15th year, we're planning on going out, you know, every day.
All right. Well, if people want to try to get up there and you've got some openings for them when they want to make it, how should they reach you?
My direct line is 701-351-3130. Like I said, we got our Facebook page. That's usually up to date. And then our website is haybaleheights.com.
Haybaleheights.com. Lucas Mertens, thanks for your time on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thank you.
All right, coming up, we've got some brand new episodes of Prairie Sportsman coming out, including some cast and blasts in northern Minnesota. Joe Henry and I discuss it next on Sporting Journal Radio. I'd like to thank Outdoor News for publishing my article about the two bucks locked together a couple of weeks ago. And soon, watch for a new article that I wrote about my 9-year-old yellow lab, Mika. Watch for it in a new edition of Outdoor News coming soon. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazen Lake Lodge. with lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazzin Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. Ice fishing season is here. This winter, plan a trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not only will you have the chance to catch your legendary perch, but this year, Hay Bale Heights has been catching big walleye after big walleye. And they're doing it from a mobile, comfortable snow bear. No matter how cold it is outside, you're warm and toasty on the inside. Learn more and book a trip today at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Midwest Radio, home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. Thank you for tuning in on the podcast or this radio station right here, or even by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. My name is Brett Amundson. Our guest, Joe Henry, now from Lake of the Woods Tourism, en route to Chicago. You got a big show there this weekend, Joe?
Yeah, sure do. You know, it's the Chicagoland Fishing, Travel, and Outdoor Expo in Schaumburg, Illinois. And, you know, it's a neat show. Good people there. You know, we, Lake of the Woods Tourism will have a booth there. We're giving away a real nice fishing trip from the Walleye Inn up at Lake of the Woods. Of course, as you know, Paul and Brandy Johnson own the Walleye Inn and Riverbend Resort. And then we're giving away our new 2020 visitor guides. And yours truly will be giving a couple of seminars, one of them on basically using noise to catch walleyes, and another one on, fishing Minnesota's Lake of the Woods. So, yeah, a busy weekend, but an enjoyable weekend as well. A lot of great people in that whole region around Chicago that are very, very avid outdoors people.
I was impressed with that area as far as the amount of anglers that are there. When we were there at the All Canada Show a couple of weeks ago, we were down there, we did the Milwaukee and Chicago, and just spending a lot of time in that area. Of course, you've got Lake Michigan, but other than Lake Michigan, you know, you got various little lakes here and there, but for the most part, it's kind of your Lake Michigan. So a lot of people from that region actually travel up to our neck of the woods up here to do some fishing, Joe.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, a lot of people, when they go on a real vacation, and I don't mean that way. When they go on a bigger vacation, maybe they want that was not a slip of the tongue.
Let's be honest. The real vacations are going north to go fishing. Let's be honest.
Well, they do. They want to go north toward there's the beauty, the whole look up there. Of course, all the walleyes and that whole thing. And I knew that it would be a good show for us simply because there's a lot of resorts in Canada there. And we're right in the very edge of Canada, obviously. And if they're going to go to Canada, that they'd certainly stop short at Lake of the Woods. And we're right. We got a really nice response from people there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Lake of the Woods is, of course, on my mind in the wintertime anyway. But over the course of this 2-week stretch here right now, there's going to be just piles of Lake of the Woods stuff coming from myself and Prairie Sportsman. A couple of days ago, we shared our trip up there last year to catch sturgeon on the Rainy River in the spring with myself and Jamie Dittman. You can see that episode right now on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page. There was a 69-inch sturgeon caught next to us. Wow. And we caught a 67-pounder, I think. Our last fish of the trip. trip. Jamie and I both had to hold it up for the camera. Jamie and I both had to hold that fish up. Just an amazing, amazing, best spring trip we've had up to the Rainy River for sturgeon. And you can watch that now on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page. And then this Sunday night, the 26th, is the season premiere of Prairie Sportsman, the new season coming out. And it's all about prairie grouse in Minnesota, from the prairie chickens in the northwest to sharp-tailed grouse hunt in the east central part of the state. But one of the coolest parts of that trip was visiting a lek near Bidette, Joe. And I know you've done that up there. You've gone up there and seen those sharp-tailed grouse up there. And we had a chance to do it for the first time. I was really impressed with the sharpies up there, Joe.
A lot of sharpies. And, it's interesting. Lake of the Woods area has three different species of grouse. We have our rough grouse, we have our spruce grouse, and we have our sharp tails. And, the DNR has a couple different places, a couple different blinds that are right in the middle of these leks where these sharpies do all their mating dances and all their rituals. And, all you have to do is free of charge. All you have to do is contact the Minnesota DNR up in Bidette and sign up for, a sit in one of these blinds in the morning. And, you're getting up early, but it's kind of cool. You get up before light, get a good cup of coffee, and you head out to one of these blinds. A lot of times you're kicking up birds. You might see some deer. You might see hawks going after the grouse. The grouse are dancing literally all around you. You get to hear very close and intimately the sounds they make. And the colors on these grouse are really beautiful. You wouldn't necessarily know it from a distance, but, man, what struck me are the purples around their tails and just the colors around their head. It just, again, it's being out in nature, and it's not hunting, but, as an outdoors person, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, yeah. And I love to hunt, but I love being out there and seeing the wildlife. And I tell you what, these viewing blinds for prairie chickens and sharp-tailed grouse have been some of the coolest experiences I've ever had in the outdoors. And we had a great morning up there. Scott Loudenslager from the DNR, who was kind of pointing things out and telling us why the birds were doing what they were. And you really got an up-close look at why they're called sharp-tailed grouse. And then while we were there, we had a pile of birds on the lek, and they're just beating the heck out of each other. And we had deer walking through all over the place. And you're right, the noises may be one of the neatest aspects to sitting there, just the noises they make. You're amazed that they can make these noises. And some of the most surreal sounds are coming from the air sacs. Same with the prairie chickens. They inflate these air sacs on the side of their necks, and it makes this booming noise. It's pretty cool, and you can watch it and see it for yourself this Sunday night on Prairie Sportsman. Check your guide for Prairie Sportsman, set your DVR. You can see some of that footage. And then next week, next Sunday night on Prairie Sportsman, February 2nd, you'll see our cast and blast trip to Lake of the Woods. It's all Lake of the Woods for the next couple of weeks on Prairie Sportsman, Joe. Walleyes, of course, are what Lake of the Woods is known for, but man, did we have a great time shooting geese up there last fall, Joe.
We got the geese pretty darn good. And people don't realize how good of a waterfall area Lake of the Woods is, and it really, truly is. And, the goose hunt we had, Brett, you guys goose hunt all the time. It was pretty special, wasn't it?
It was great. And I remember that first morning we had a flock come in, and we were there, and there's Canada geese all over the place. And I'd never goose hunted up there, but I've fished enough that I've seen geese and, of course, diver ducks on the lake. And we see this flock coming in from a long ways off, and the way they were gliding and the way they were flying in, completely silent though, but they were just flying a little bit different. They looked a little bit smaller. My immediate thought was maybe that they were lesser Canada geese, and it was still, it was legal shooting time, but it wasn't, the sun wasn't up yet. So it was still there, and they were flying with the sun behind them. So they were just silhouetted. And it wasn't until they got over the decoys that Jay Anglin was there too. And both of us kind of realized at the same time, hey, those are snow geese. And I get all tingly when snow geese are coming into the coming into the decoy spread, Joe. And I think we wiped out five or six of them out of that flock. And it was a pretty neat experience, pretty unexpected experience up there.
Yeah. And, those are some of the neat times. And, the camaraderie, I remember how wet the fields were, and we had to really worked to get out to some of our spots. And, I also remember how good the goose was when we ate it. And that was kind of a surprise to me, because I'm not used to goose being that good. And, you and I had a conversation about how, when you clean the geese, how you really take time to cut the breast up in the chunks. You take a lot of the arteries and stuff. I would say the preparation of the goose is starting at an early time. And then, you know, you had the cook at Riverbend Resort soak the goose breast chunks in beer overnight, which mm-hmm. broke apart any kind of fibrous material in there. And man, when she cooked those goose chunks up, I mean, they were so good.
Yeah, delicious. That's Sarah up there. She did a great job. And you don't overcook them. You process them. You clean them up nice. And then we dipped them in sweet chili sauce. And it was unbelievable. And I took all those goose legs too, Joe. And for those that don't keep their legs when they shoot Canada geese, you're doing it wrong, man. Sometimes I think it's a better tasting meat than the breast. So keep your goose legs. It's not always easiest to cut out. But they're delicious. You slow cook them in whatever you want to cook them in and whatever seasoning you want to get, just get them till they fall off the bone, and they're a delicious, delicious meat. And Joe Henry is our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about Lake of the Woods and the Rainy River. And after watching that sturgeon episode, got me excited for spring fishing on the Rainy again. And the whole segment kind of starts off with, you know, guys looking out over their frozen lakes, wondering when that ice is going to fall off. And a lot of times when you're sitting around in Minnesota, when you get into that March, April time period, when your lakes are still frozen, the Rainy River's opened up and you can go up there and fish for walleyes, right, Joe?
Yeah, we talk about it every year. It's really kind of unique because you'll have anglers on Lake of the Woods ice fishing through the month of March. You know, our fish houses are allowed overnight on the ice through March 31st. Our walleye season goes to April 14th. So you get some folks that are ice fishing at the same time that Rainy River, because the current will start opening up towards the end of March. And you get a lot of other anglers fishing in boats going after those walleye sliding up for the spot. And it is just, I mean, it's a hoot. You know, for a lot of anglers, it's the first time they're dropping the boat in for the year. You got an opportunity of all these big walleyes on Lake of the Woods coming together in a very small river and getting constricted. You know, if you hit it right, well, you can catch 12, 13 pound walleye. If you hit it right, you might catch 50 to 100 walleyes in a day. You know what? It's interesting. The Rainy River, it's a catch and release season only in the spring. And that starts on March 1st, Brett. You know, March 1st, the 4 Mile Bay, which is at the mouth of the Rainy River, as well as the Rainy River, is all catch and release until April 14th. But, you know, talking to most anglers, they're not going to the Rainy River to catch, you know, a couple small walleyes. They're going there to get a fish of a lifetime and to really create some memories and to get out in that open water the first time of the year.
What are conditions like up there on Lake of the Woods right now?
Conditions are excellent. You know, most places we're fishing, we have, you know, approximately 30 inches of ice. We're allowing all different sites of, you know, trucks and you know, wheelhouses out and stuff. Our resorts are doing a really nice job of, you know, following walleyes and saugers as they move around the lake. I know a lot of the resorts right now are out in excess of 10 miles already. But again, they don't want to go that far. But what they're doing is they're tracking down those walleyes, making sure that people have the very best chance of a good fishing experience. And you don't have to have all the equipment. You can go up there, step into a fish house with everything ready to roll for fishing. For the average person who doesn't want to deal with all the equipment and this, that, and everything else, you go up there with some loved ones, some friends, whatever the case might be. And I'll tell you, we got some of the best fishing coming in February, March yet.
It's a good time. Joe, have fun in Chicago. And if people want to get more information, a fishing report, or where or when they can go up to Lake of the Woods and plan a trip, where should they go?
Absolutely. Hey, check out our Facebook page and on Lake of the Woods Tourism. Otherwise, our website's a great source. And that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.